Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
So before we start today's show, I wanted to get a word from our sponsor. So who here has tried to sell a house and been told by a real estate agent, yeah, mate, yeah, this piece of shit of a house, I'll get you $800,000 for this, no worries at all. Only to be told 3 weeks later, or 2 weeks later, or whatever, oh no, you'll have to drop the prices. You're just not getting any interest. And then it gets passed at auction, and you're stressed out trying to sell it, because you've got mortgage payments, bills, and everything else that comes with life. Well, stress no more. Barry Plant Craigieburn will look after you without the stresses of trying to sell a house. I've had first-hand experience in selling a house with Barry Plant, and have smashed the reserve price quite easily both times. Also, if you are looking at renting an investment property, they will look after you as well with getting the best tenants possible with thorough background checks. You don't have to do anything except watch the rent come into your account. Barry Plant will take care of everything. No stress and no worries. Just ask for Damien Cavalli at Barry Plant Craigieburn or any of the other friendly staff and they will look after you. Just say hashtag kangaroos or Dean Vasek recommended you. Also, Damien's a North supporter, so he's more than happy to chat about North while he's looking after your best interest as far as buying or selling a house or even renting an investment property. So just call Barry Plant Craigieburn on 9305 5533 or go to www.barryplant.com.au. Anyways, that's it. On with the show. Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at hashtag kangaroos or on Instagram at hashtag kangaroos podcast. So today I'm doing a review of the North Melbourne versus Sydney game with Claire Cozzi once again, the regular host now, Claire Cozzi. But yeah, there's been a lot of drama, which is nothing unusual for the North Melbourne Football Club this probably last 6 months. You know, it's probably, you know, it's getting worse with a lot of things. You know, Jason All-Francis now doesn't want to be part of the future of the football club after only 1 year being the number one draft pick. So I talked a little bit about that with Claire Cozzi as well, just to get her thoughts and feelings on it all. Obviously a very, very bitterly disappointing last 24 hours for the football club, to be honest with you. Yeah, when you've got a generational talent like that that wants out, and you know, probably a good chance that he won't be there next year and for years to come, it's a bit of blow for a rebuilding club. So, you know, what can you do? Anyways, I'll bring on Claire right now as we as I talk to her about it. And, yeah, we talk about the women's performance yesterday as well. All right. So I'm once again joined by Claire Cozzi. Now, Claire, before we start the AFLW review and an impressive win by the girls yesterday, now, we've obviously been rocked by more news. When you think it couldn't get any worse, it does somehow. Now, we'll talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jason All-Francis obviously putting in a trade request, and it looks like he's almost certainly gone. Yeah. What are your feelings about it all when you initially found out?
I'm saddened by the fact that he does want to leave as a supporter. And, you know, I remember being at the MCG when he kicked his first goal against Hawthorn in round one, and I absolutely just felt electric and I felt really happy and optimistic as to where the club was going and what the future looked like. But, you know, fast forward, what is it, a couple of months down the track, and unfortunately, yeah, he's requested. Look, he's a 19-year-old kid that's got a close connection to his family and he wants to move back home. I do think, look, it's hard. It's so hard to judge young athletes, and it's so hard the amount of pressure and scrutiny that becomes with a number one draft pick. I guess I really wish we, you know, Jason had said from the start that, you know, he wanted to stay in Adelaide and he wanted to stay with family. That kind of would have definitely been a bit more helpful. At the end, I do want what's best for the club and I want what's best for Jason. So hopefully we can get that compensation and some picks. I think it's just really hard for North supporters at the moment because, yeah, it's gone pear-shaped. We've gone from beating our chest and being really excited and hopeful about Clarkson to the allegations, which has put a whole massive spanner in the works. And then now this, and then also I read that Taron Thomas is considering a trade request as well. So it's one of those really difficult times where North supporters have to stick fat to the club and kind of understand that there's no one bigger than the club. So if Tara and Jason do want to leave, then we respect that those are human beings that have requests that we need to negotiate with, but also that North do the due diligence in trying to get the best possible, I guess, picks or players in that situation. But how did you feel, Dean, about the whole thing?
I was surprised. Like, I found out just before bed last night. Like, I'm a bit of an early – I go to bed fairly early because I wake up fairly early. And I was a bit surprised when Cal Toomey, who's got a lot of credit in the bank, when he sort of first reported, I thought, oh, we're in trouble here. And then a club sort of come out about 20 minutes later and issued a statement that he wants to go home. And then social media lit up. And, yeah, I mean, you can sort of tell a lot of players not a lot of players, a lot of supporters were very angry, disappointed, disheartened. I mean, it's not – we don't know all the facts. Like, I did hear – I did read somewhere that I'm not too sure if it's true that apparently stepdad got 4 years jail during the week. Whether that played a part and he wanted to move back home closer to family, I'm not too sure. He is very much a family man.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been question marks all year about his attitude, about wanting to go home and so forth. But, I guess it's just disappointing. And, I did look, I went on his Instagram last night and there was a lot of comments on, his which he's taken down, a lot of comments from supporters with the snake emoji. So, yeah, that's a bit disappointing for him. Obviously, he's going to take that to heart a little bit. But
Whilst I think you can be disappointed and disheartened, and I think you can, as a North Melbourne supporter, you have every right to feel frustrated. I think you cross the line, though, when you decide to take it personally and, punch down on other people. I just think that, there's times and places and everyone has the right to feel their emotions and feel very passionate. North Melbourne supporters are passionate people. We're small, we're mighty. I'm all really proud of the fact that, we always band together through tough times. That's historically who we are. But I think, passion can be such a powerful thing, and let's use it for good, not bad, is what I would kind of say to North supporters. And I totally understand. I've communicated with a lot of people over Twitter and social media and my own family members about it. And, my dad was really gutted. My dad kind of called me and we had a good 30-minute chat about it, and I had to have a really hard conversation about him and how he felt about it. And we unpacked it quite a bit. And we talked about the kind of emotional literacy and how we, describe our feelings. And at the end of the day, what you really want is you want North to do well as a team. You want us to see success, and you want Jason to do also well in his football as well, and him be feel like his mental health. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry if you can hear my dog in the background.
No, that's all right.
It's one of those times, I guess, Dean, that as a North supporter, you've gone through a roller coaster of so many years of putting up with it. Then you finally get someone like, Clarkson, who at the time didn't have those allegations against his name. We were beating our chests. We were so excited. We're so happy. We're so optimistic. And then it's all just kind of unraveled in a really unfair way. But I guess that's life. And I spoke to another supporter about it, and I recommended a couple of podcasts that I'd listened to about Nathan Jones and his journey and becoming an AFL footballer and how it was to play for Melbourne and through those really tough, terrible years. And I just think that, if you're a North supporter and you're listening now, we got to stick fat, we've got to stick by the club, but it's also important to remember, it's hard being a 19-year-old away from your family, and it's hard going through those emotions and being so connected and feeling distanced by those things. So it's good that you feel that passion, but let's use that passion to put it towards, really positive things, to put it towards, Luke Davies-Yunaki, put it towards, watching Will Phillips next year, or put it towards watching the AFLW team and really getting behind those things. So that's kind of my advice to North supporters at the moment, I guess.
Yeah, and pretty well said. Look, I think what really hurts is because we know how much of a generational talent he's going to be and how good of a footballer there is inside of him. So I think that hurts a little bit more that, this guy was going to, we're going to be on his back for the next 10, 15 years, we're hoping anyway. So it probably hurts in that regard. But at the end of the day, you pretty much summed it up pretty well. No individual is bigger than the club, and we have to move forward and, move forward together. And that's all we can do. So,
It. And to go back to it, we've missed such as the thing of our club of, like, we missed those free agents. We miss, the Josh Kellys, the Dustin Martins, not changed us. It's not changed our DNA. We still are such a strong group of individuals that come together and are binded by such of a community of North Melbourne. So, you know, if we're going to cliches, and football's very, very kind to us in cliches, and I think it's really important to reflect on, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, and what we want to add players. The thing for me is also in another group chat that I spoke to is that you want players that want to play for the blue and white. You want people that want to represent. You want North Melbourne people. So I think about, you know, obviously Cooper Harvey and Jason Horne-Francis are very different players and have very different skill sets, but how good is it going to be when Cooper Harvey, your father's son, comes to North Melbourne and has been a blue and white North Melbourne man since birth? You know, that's yeah. you got to kind of look at, I know, again, very different talent and skill set, but I would honestly rather a player that wants to come and play for North and be, you know, be a player that can really contribute rather than, you know, generational talent that just doesn't want to be there. So,
Yeah, 100%. You know? Yeah, I mean, we'd all love to have, you know, a team full of Luke McDonalds who, you know, bleed blue and white. But, yeah, it doesn't always work like that, unfortunately. And, yeah, we have to move forward now and find, a, you know, the best trade we possibly can. I think there's a bit of, you know, to and fro. I'm pretty certain, almost 100%, that he won't be at North next year. Yeah. I think Port Adelaide would be happy with two first rounders and a young talent or something like that that come across, whether it's Bergman's brother or as your dog tries to get in the word. Obviously, he's not very happy with Jason Horne-Francis as well.
He's not at all. He's very much upset, but he's also happy to move on like the rest of us and just look for that talent again and go back to the draft pool and see what kind of becomes of it. And you know what? If you're going to go half full and half empty, half full is like, well, what's the next, you know, young, interesting talent that we can get to the club and we can all get around? What's something else that we can really, as a group of people, come together and celebrate? Because, you know, if you dwell on the losses, North Melbourne just wouldn't exist. That's the thing. If we dwelled on the bad news that has been put in forward of us, we wouldn't exist as a club. So I'm very proud of the fact that here we are still standing. No matter what kind of comes at us, we're still here and we still take the hits and we become stronger for it, you know?
Yeah, off the field, you know, we've come a long way since 2007. We were pretty close to going to the Gold Coast. So
yeah.
We've got a football club to support and follow. We're debt free. So there's a lot of positives to come
Absolutely.
Out of it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we move forward. And we might as well move forward to the women's and talk about something exciting. So, yeah, now, very good performance yesterday, I found. Opposition. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's not the greatest, but you can only beat what's in front of you. And I thought our standards were really high.
Couldn't agree more.
The game, yeah. So, how did you see the game anyway?
Pretty complete. I was nervous got walking in because I said to my dad, I went with my dad and a little family friend member who, gorgeous little kid Chloe, who's now Jasmine Gunner's probably second fan. I'm her number one fan, so she's probably number two. But we went to the game together and it was just really lovely to, you know, have a kick and have a laugh. And I think it's the most complete performance that I've seen North Melbourne play. And when I mean complete, I mean it was really well balanced with really good performances across the field. It wasn't just Carney, Riddell or Garner who were kind of carrying the team, which they all did very well, of course. I think had two goals with a goal assist as well. But I think in terms of the scoreboard was a little flattering to Sydney. There are times where I thought that maybe we're a bit too cute with the ball and in the forward line that we could have probably done a little bit more damage. But, you know, if someone had said to me, you're going to win by 11 goals today, Claire, I'd take it. I'd absolutely take it. But, yeah, like I said, I was very impressed with Brooke Brown. I think that's the best game that she's ever played for North Melbourne. She was pivotal across the half back, clunking marks. Bella Eddy's goal was just beautiful to watch. I think Abba again has only got better in terms of her teamwork and her flick of her hands. I think Riddell, who I had time with after the game, it was great to have a chat with her and catch up, and she had a phenomenal performance. She was tagged the entire game by Maddie Collier, and just she wore like a glove, Maddie Collier, and she's still able to get 25 disposals, which was really good. Trying to think of what else. I mean, the backline didn't concede a goal. So Jazz Ferguson and Sarah Wright again had a phenomenal game. I get that, you know, the opposition that we came against was probably lacking in terms of pressure, and they lost shape pretty quickly. But it was also nice to see Lexi Hamilton, who's a ex-North Melbourne player who kind of got delisted slash kind of delisted by the club, and then she was picked up by Swans. So it was nice to see her make a real go at it. But yeah, it was phenomenal to watch. It was just so nice. It was nice to have the North Melbourne supporters there getting around the gals. It would have been nice to be Arden Street, but my word is from Ashradale, straight from the horse's mouth, is that they will definitely be playing at Arden Street against Brisbane this week. There's no doubt in her mind. They'll train on it this week, and they'll do a bit of light duties on it, make sure it doesn't get too torn up, but the weather's pretty good. But we'll be playing Brisbane at Arden Street, finally, in round 7 this week, which is very exciting.
Yeah, well, there's no better opposition to do it against than them, because we really need that home ground advantage coming up this week. Do you get, is it a good precursor to a game coming up against Brisbane? Like, I mean, it became a bit easy for us at times during against Sydney, but I still think winning form's good form. So coming up against Brisbane, it's going to be a different standard of opposition coming this week. But it's not bad, is it? Like, to play,
no, it is.
Get a bit of confidence.
No, and it's like, to go back to what I sort of said a couple of podcasts ago, it's good to get form, right, and momentum. So that chunk of football where North needed to recover from the two losses to Adelaide and Melbourne, very good opposition, they needed to get some momentum, get the game plan sorted, and they won against Geelong, they won against Western Bulldogs, and now they've won against Sydney. And this is where they bring the game plan that they've worked on for 3 weeks, they bring the structures, and they've got a bit of confidence. Like, I watched what's her name? Smith on the weekend. I thought she was phenomenal. I thought she really took it on. I think she made a couple of mistakes. So did Tess Craven as well. Watched them pretty closely. But I thought good on them for taking on. And they found a little bit of, I guess, confidence in the last 3 weeks. So I think also off the back, Brisbane have played Essendon, which are not a bad team, but they did it pretty easily against them. So it's one of those situations where you've got two top teams now coming against each other with relatively similar kind of form entering the game. So it'll be interesting. We'll definitely need the home ground advantage because Brisbane are looking schmick. They are looking a lot better than what they were against Richmond a couple of weeks ago. So I think they've rebounded. So it'll be a very interesting game.
Yeah, it'll be tough, that's for sure. Yeah, I mean, look, it gives us hope because Richmond, played really well against them, really. Considering they're missing a couple of players too, Richmond. So, yeah, I mean, it gives teams hope that it can happen. I mean, halfway through the third quarter, I think Melbourne were beating Brisbane as well. But they can, they can switch it on and go another gear. So, yeah, look, it's going to be a tough challenge. How do you see the debut performance of Zoe? I'll try and say this last name,
I think I was at the ground, and even the person who was doing the ceremony had a bit of a struggle with her name. But she was good. She was lively. I think it was the perfect decision for Crocker to put her in that game because it was kind of a risk-free kind of opportunity to put her in and see what happens. Going up to Sydney, I think, the club knew it was more of a softer kind of entry to start your AFL career. I think the fact that she's a bit younger as well, she's still in high school, so it's kind of a really nice way to ease her into it. She was really lively, really quick around the ball. I watched her on the wing. She's got a lot of pace on her, which is fantastic to see. Seems to be the theme for the North Melbourne Women's Football Club, having Vicky Wall and Abba and Aliso Lachlan down there as well. So, yeah, she slotted in. I think she did really – it would have been lovely to see her actually get a debut goal. I think she ended up keeping 3 points. She had a set shot on goal. She got one a free kick, and I think she was 30 out on an angle, and I thought, this is it. She's going to – I got my phone out to actually take a video to celebrate, but unfortunately it just faded right in the end. But, no, I think she did really well. I think it's great to see – North Melbourne be able not only to, slot in these new players, but for them to play a role and feel like they're contributing. So it was good. What did you think of her?
Yeah, no, I was her first possession was, it showed that she's not afraid to back herself. Like, she took a couple of bounces. Unfortunately, just, probably run too fast and did steady when she had a shot for goal and just dribbled through for a behind. But, I like her in the forward line. I just like that smaller option because you've got Emma King, Talia Randall as your bigger girls, and then you've got Abba Tangelo as that mid-sized forward. And I like have another speedy, quick, defensive sort of pressured player rather than a Safia McCarthy.
Yeah, I
just like that, especially against Brisbane. You know,
yeah,
like,
absolutely.
You kind of need those defensive players. And she played a role in the team. Like, I don't think she had many touches. I think she only had five from memory. But she did enough. Like, late four tackles as well, kicked two behinds. I think she gets a game this week.
I do too. Not that I dislike McCarthy, but I think from the simple fact that you've got Randall and King, who rotates maybe with Rennie going forward as well, I think, it's hard. If you're going ABBA versus McCarthy, you go ABBA for that kind of mid-size forward kind of range if you're looking for a hit-up target, because ABBA can kind of take a contested mark as well pretty well. She's got a bit more experience. She's got a bigger body. But I do think in terms of the matchup, I'd keep Zoe. I think she's definitely done enough to keep her spot. She's fast. She's interesting. She backs herself. I don't mind that. I really like when the kids, even Craven, she backed herself and she ended up turning the ball over, but she tried to be creative. And it was the idea of that she had the confidence in herself and the team and the structures that the back line was going to be there if, you know, something did happen, that she's able to kind of reshape again. So no, I liked her. I think it was really nice to see there was heaps of her family and her friends had come from school as well. So it was just a really nice feel-good story. And it was really nice to watch a kid who, you know, who's come from a soccer background, who probably didn't think that she was ever going to play AFLW, and there she is on Punt Road just giving it a crack, you know. It's good to see.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we're still probably another week or two away from Gavala, so I think she keeps her spot as long as she's out at the moment with the hamstring. I mean, we'd love to have Ali Gavala back this week against Brisbane, but I think it's still another week away from what I've heard and read, which is a bit of a shame. I mean, you do a hamstring, you're out for half the season.
I know, it's gutting. The only good thing about that, I think, is that how great is it that we're in a position where if you had said last season that Ali Gavalis is out for, you know, the best part of 5 to 6 weeks, you would have been like, well, that's over. That's, you know, that maybe our premiership window's over. And now what I'm seeing is because of the flexibility, because of the, you know, the Brooke Brown standing up, because you've got Brezhnahan, because you've got maybe the players that aren't in the top six, but they're kind of rising to the occasion, the gap between Gavalis being out and Gavalis playing isn't as probably as big as we thought it was going to be. You know what I mean by that?
There's a bit more depth in the team,
this year. There's more balance, I think. There's more responsibility and there's more, you know, Eric O'Shea, go, take the ball and run and carry. You know, it's not always going to be Carney that has to play that role. It's definitely more shared, and that's really wonderful to watch, I guess.
She's impressed me, Erica O'Shea. I thought she played really well.
She did. I reckon so too. I reckon she doesn't lose the contest. I watched her.
No.
And again, I know, like, with being respectful to Sydney, of course, it's their first year and there's a lot of young players on that list, but she didn't lose a contested battle. She's really good. She really uses her body well. She's strong. I think she falls down a little bit with skill execution, but that's fine. Like, as long as she's playing a role and kind of contributing, then, you know, she's fantastic pickup. It's one of those things I was talking to my dad about at the game, because Caitlin Ashmore was there, I think, supporting, which is really nice to see, because obviously she's been at the club for a while now, so it's nice that she's probably supporting her mates. But I said, I'm like, we don't miss her, you know, like when Gilroy, Ashmore, Bannister, Duffin, and I think another one left to pursue their careers, I thought, oh, this is going to be really bad for the club. We're going to be set back a couple of years. But to the credit of Darren Crocker and to the credit of the leadership team and the recruitment and development, I don't feel like we've missed those players per se. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You talk about Daisy Bateman, Bannister as well. That's a big chunk of our forward line from last year as well. So, you know, I mean, that's, fair losses, but we replaced them pretty well. I wanted to talk to you, like, we've got a couple of Irish girls. Do you think that's the way we sort of look to recruit in the future? We got Gilroy, you know, with the Irish background as well. Do you think that's maybe something we can continue to look at in the future?
Yeah, I definitely think it's one of those untapped resources in terms of, you know, being able to offer those Gaelic players to come across. Because Vicky Wall, she ran past me on the fence when, you know, after the game they were all congratulating and talking. She's not you know, like what I mean to say is in a respectful way, she's a big bodied pet person. I didn't actually realize when she was, she's not chunky or anything. She's just solidly built. She's tough. She's tough. And the same way that Bannister was quite tough and strong, I think the same way that Vicky Wall is. And she's only 24. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of upside that you've got. And if you, in my ideal situation is you get Erica O'Shea and you get Vicky Wall going back to Ireland over Christmas, tell our mates about this whole AFLW thing, and then we start recruiting straight from Ireland. Because I think... Yeah, they've been two phenomenal pickups. I think they've been really helpful. And I think that North, maybe when they did trade Gilroy and they did do those delistings, I guess, over summer, over the previous season, they knew that that gap could be kind of filled by some Irish recruits. So, yeah, it's a big tick for me. I'm very, very stoked with it. I'm hoping that the AFLW in the next coming years, when it wants to, I think by 2025, it wants to be the highest paid domestic sport in Australia. So hopefully we can use that as a pathway to start trying to, yeah, nab a few more Irish girls over. It's a bit of a commute, but that's okay.
That's all right. It seems like they've settled in pretty well, those two Irish girls. Yeah, they're very strong. Like, I think Erica O'Shea, I don't know if you've seen her abs, but Jesus Christ, you can grate cheese with her core strength. And I've lost my train of thought. Vicky Wall as well, she's quite strong. She breaks a lot of tackles, just very strong. Very strong shoulders.
And at first, I thought it was just because she was quick. And she was breaking the tackles because they couldn't stick. But then I looked at her on the weekend and I thought, you're a big, strong woman. Like, you've got a lot here and you can really work to it. And, yeah, I just think that's one of those things where North have done really well by the club to identify and talent scout and get them across. So, you know, people might be lamenting Jason Horne-Francis going back to Adelaide, but you got to remember we've recruited all the way from Ireland. So we're doing something right at North Melbourne, you know?
Well, I forgot about the Jason Lord Francis there for about 20 minutes. So.
Oh, sorry. I apologize.
No stress at all. Do you see any possible team changes happen this week coming up against Brisbane?
Yeah, I thought about that because the only thing that I was thinking about was I think what Brisbane have to do is play a tagging role on Garner. So I was thinking, do they add another midfield? If you're playing a whole D, you know, 3D chess, and if you're coaches and you're looking at strategic, my biggest thing that they'd either put Kathy or Ruby Spark on Garner, and does that mean that North Melbourne should go and pick another midfielder as opposed to staying with an unchanged team? At the moment, I think Zoe gets another game. That's the only one that I could think of. And it'd be, you'd be pretty tough to be, you know, not selected again. So I'd have to say it remains unchanged. That being said, if Gavalis is magically fit, then I'd love to see her out there. But, yeah, for me it's unchanged. What about you? Do you see anyone coming in?
No, I think it'll be definitely unchanged. You can't really change that winning formula. Maybe if Ali Gavalis comes in, maybe it might be for a Taylor Gatt. Yeah, maybe her, because I think Zoe's done enough just with her pace and defensive pressure to keep her spot for another week, whether Gavalis is in the team or not. With Jazz Garner, she did get tagged by Montana Ham yesterday, but she's good enough to break the tag. She's a good inside-outside player, same as Riddell. Like, they're hard to tag. You know?
Yeah, they are.
I mean, Riddell followed closely yesterday as well, but she goes in and gets her own football anyway, so it's not too many dramas. And you know, like, Jazz Garner could have easily kicked three goals, but she gave up.
And I think, to be honest, Montana Ham tagging Garner was more educational for Ham than anything. Like, you know, with all due respect, it's more of a learn where she goes, track her ball movement, track what she does, because this is the kind of player that we want you to become. And I think, you know, good on her. It's that game from what the thing about Sydney, and I was, you know, being really respectful to some of the supporters who were, you know, lamenting the loss. I said, this is your first year. This is really important and growth for the young players. And if anything, what's really great is that Maddie Collier and Montana Ham and some of these younger girls get to play against some really quality opposition and learn from the best. And that's what you've got to see the first couple of years as is just the kids, the same, you know, as a men's supporter of North Melbourne, you've got to remember these are kids and they're just here to learn. and they're here to grow. And that's kind of the point of the game for, you know, Sydney for a long while, I guess. So, yeah, I do think it'll be interesting. There'll be so many key matchups next week against Brisbane. I think Emily Bates in the middle, you know, will she go 1v1 against Riddell because they're a similar inside player, or will she go against Ali Anderson, who's had an incredible season? You know, who plays on Jessie Wardlaw because she's tall. And I back Jazz Ferguson and Sarah Wright. I think they're incredible talent, but I also think, you know, Greta Bodie's down there. You've got Courtney Hodder. So I think the back line will have its work cut out for them. That's the only thing that I thought of is, do North Melbourne bring in a more defensive player like a Daniel Hardiman to rotate? But then again, that's probably going a bit too defensive. And I think Brooke Brown had a phenomenal game. Like I said, I mean, you can't be too harsh with a back line that didn't even concede a goal the entire game. So I've got to hand it to them. But yeah, I think it'll be a real test to see where we're at by a club. I think it's the best possible position, apart from Gavalis's injury. I think it's the best possible position we've actually ever been in to beat Brisbane, because I truly believe this list is very balanced. It's composed. It's got a good chunk of football behind them to see that the game plan does work. It's balanced. And we just need every kind of contributor on every line. And I thought about it. I watched them on the weekend against Essendon. I thought, you know, for North to win, do Brisbane need to play off? And I don't think that's the case. I think if we match up their midfield versus ours, our back line, I think it's just going to be a really, really tough, hard game. But I think this is the first time in a long time I'm going to put myself out here on record and say, I think we can win it. I think we can genuinely beat the Lions. And that's not something that I thought I would say this season. So I'm pretty happy. I also could be riding cloud nine, which was, could be very optimistic, but you know what? I'm happy to put my money where my mouth is, and I'm happy to kind of put it out there and say, I think we can take the Lions. I think we've got the capacity to beat them this year.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like the lid's off with you. Got to buy your points. So.
Well, you've got to be optimistic about some things, Dean, right? You can't.
100%. It's a lot tougher being optimistic than pessimistic. That's for sure.
Absolutely. But, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's also, like, it's important, I think, I guess, also, like, you know, speaking to Ash after the game, there's got to be self-belief, right? Because, you know, I spoke about who she's going to match up on next week and how's it going to go. She's like, yeah, we can do it. I'm thinking, you know, if Ash Riddell thinks that she can do it, then as a supporter, we back them in. We say, yeah, fine. If you think that you can beat, you know, quite a great opposition, then why not support them and why not go in with an optimistic approach, I guess?
Yeah, and that's all you can do. Like, you just got to have that belief. And they've earned their belief, really. I mean, they've beaten what's in front of them. They've beaten some decent teams too. Like, Geelong's shown some really good signs this season.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, they've had a couple of decent wins. So, you know, I mean, we just fell short against a couple of the top teams. Like, we'll in it against Adelaide and Melbourne. So, it might be time for us to get one of these top teams.
Absolutely. It could be our time. Like, we just got picked at the post against Melbourne. You know, Adelaide, we were in it, we were up most of the game. So it's, for me, it's highlighting the positives of the season and really trying to build that self-belief, because when it comes down to it, those kids, Tess Craven, Bella Eddy, you know, Erica O'Shea, Vicky Wall, they've got to believe in themselves in order for them to win as well. So it's kind of just buying into the whole system, which I think is up and running now. It's really something to be quite proud of.
Yeah, 100%. In saying all that, what's your final prediction before I let you go, Claire?
Okay. yeah, I don't think we'll do it by much, and I think I don't think I'll have fingernails by the end of the game, but I reckon North by 8 points is my, I think it'll, yeah, it won't be as, it'll be too close for comfort, but I think we'll get over the line, which will be very exciting. What about you, Dean? What do you think?
I'll go 6 points. I think it'll be low scoring, tight affair, like a very contested game. I think it'll be like 27-21 or something like that. So.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it'll be the blowout that we've seen in the last couple of weeks. I think it'll be, goals will be rarer than hen's teeth, but it'll be because of such a contested, tight game. It'll be, you know, on the edge of your seat stuff. And I can just see, you know, Randall having, you know, 5 minutes left on the clock, and I can just see it, you know, casually snapping the ball, and I'm here hiding my face in my scarf thinking what's happening, and her just casually, kicking it on a preferred and winning us the game. But a girl can dream. And yeah, that's kind of, like I said, it's really, like, I like what you said before. It's really easy to stay negative and it's really easy to dwell on some bad things. But also I think that, you know, if you're a North supporter now and you don't know much about AFLW and you're kind of lamenting what's happening with the men's, then there's never a better time than to jump on the women's and really watch how incredible this team can be, because it's an absolute pure joy that I and you get to kind of invest in every week and be a part of, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And try and get down and be the 17th, person and player for them this week and give them plenty of support because it means a lot. I'm sure, you know, it'll add, you know, it might add another goal to it for us if we can get that home ground advantage. And we want to make Arden Street a fortress for these girls. So, yeah, definitely get down if you can. It's a good time slot on a Saturday afternoon. Yep. Late in the evening, and you know, you can start 10 o'clock a bit early
Through the night. Oh, mate, there was no Mr. I was shattered. I was shattered because there was no Mr. Whippy Van at the Punt Road. So that's okay. I settled for a sausage and a can, which was nice. But yeah, I definitely think I agree with you. It's nice to get down. It's our spiritual home, Arden Street. It means a lot to our supporters. We know how special that place is. We know how incredible it is. And we know it's great to support these women. And they're really close to doing some really special stuff this season. So it's good to jump on board, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And before I let you go, where can people find you to talk a bit of therapy about the whole Jason Bourne Francis thing, Claire?
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand why people feel the way they do. And again, it comes from a place of deep love and deep passion. So I'm not here to criticize North fans for feeling how they feel. Definitely go about that and make sure that you feel all those feels and the hurt and maybe the sadness, but also channel it to something great, you know, channel it to a passion, or channel it to something that you really feel like you could put time and really good energy into, because it's one of those things, you can't control everything in life. And I know that we're down at the moment. I know the North men's team are suffering quite a bit, but God, doesn't it feel so much better when we have those wins together? So I understand everyone's feeling a bit glum at the moment and things seem a bit hard, but I guess, you know, for me, I always like to go back and watch match highlights. I think the 2014 elimination final against Essendon is my go-to one. So that's recommended therapy for any North supporter, is any highlights of Jazz Garner, I guess, and watching the 2014 elimination final against Essendon. I know that always makes me feel better.
Yeah, definitely. Sounds good. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of North supporters do the 2014 final. Look, and Drew Petrie, Frank the Tank celebration. Oh, so,
incredible.
We're hoping more memories will come soon for the men's team. But at the moment, it's the women, and yeah, no, they're going pretty well. Damn. Anyway, Claire, I'd better let you go.
Thanks so much. I'm off for dinner, which should be nice. And you're off to swimming lessons. So we're pretty packed for a nice Monday night. But it's a gorgeous day in Melbourne, which is good. And yeah, let's all stick fat together, guys, because we're a small but we're an incredibly mighty community of people. And I've always been a very proud North Melbourne person.
Yeah, no, that sounds good, Claire. And really appreciate you coming on the show. And I'm sure I'll chat to you soon.
Excellent. Thanks so much for your time, Dean. Really appreciate talking footy with you.
Thanks to Claire for coming on the show once again and bringing a bit of positivity to, you know, probably the last 24 hours, which has been a bit dull and a bit heartbreaking for a lot of North supporters. But we've still got the women's team who are going very well. And we've got an all-important game coming up on Saturday as well against the Brisbane Lions. So that'll be a good distraction as well. So all supporters, and try and get down there if you can. Once again, thanks to a number of you supporters who are, you know, putting out really good vibes about the show. Saying some great things, like Ian, Matt Robinson, I think it was. Patrick Auld always retweets the show as well. So, yeah, once again, thanks to all you lovely listeners for doing that. You don't have to go out of your way to do it, but I really appreciate you all doing that. And, I don't take it for granted easily. So, yeah, no, it's really good to hear and see that. So, yeah, thank you very much once again to all you listeners for doing that. So that's it for today's show. I probably will be back at some point this week when I get a bit of time. I'll probably get a few guests on maybe to talk about the whole Jason Owen Francis situation, what that means for the future of the football club and so forth. So look out for that episode as it comes out. Try and continue the players review as well. That's probably insignificant at the moment. I think I've only got 14 more players to do end of season reviews. Obviously, the trade period is happening at the moment, so there'll probably be plenty more news as the week goes on. Anyways, that's it for this episode. I'll be back later in a week or fairly soon. I'm not too sure. And today, I will leave a shout out to Daniel Pratt. Bye for now.